Yes, he's a member of that law firm. That's correct.
And his name is?
His name is John Murdoch.
John Murdoch, right. And everybody seems to be focusing on John Murdoch as quite a character, and that Epstein, Becker, and Barr, I think that's the
no,
Epstein,
Green.
And Green, I'm sorry, I think of Epstein-Barr virus every time. Epstein, Becker, and Green is in fact a alleged union-busting law firm. They have a website in which they say that they counsel companies in busting unions.
I'm not getting into that, Paul. I have a legal position at this point defending, and I think that there's plenty of people putting out information as to what kind of law firm that is. My focus is really as a board of directors in terms of my responsibility to defend the assets of the foundation, and that's what I intend to do.
As a board member, and understand, fully understanding that, and answering that question, understanding that probably would be your answer. I just need to. The listeners have had such a little. You know, we've had this gag rule for years, whether it's been official or unofficial, or self-censored or outright censorship. Either way, nothing has really gotten out to the listeners over the years here in New York about what would happen in California.
Mm-hmm.
They know nothing about this. Everywhere I go, every meeting I go, they know absolutely nothing. We said nothing about it. The previous regime here allowed nothing to be said about it, and nothing was said except on this show and a couple other late night shows at 2 o'clock in the morning when, you know, they were expendable programmers. So the listeners know nothing, and I need to maybe give them an idea in as quick a period of time as possible, not just the facts, but the emotions and the feelings and the personalities involved, and why they're conflicting, and how we can find our way out of the situation we're in right now.
Well, you know, I think that the best thing I can do in terms of educating listeners is to have them pay attention to what board members do when they're supposed to do. I think that, you know, it is hard for me, since I'm not being provided a lot of information that I request from the board members that are in control of the board. What I perceive is that there's a division of different people on the board. Over time, people have gotten to the board that sometimes were not as precise as to what they needed to do there. The local advisory board used to send two members of the local advisory board to the national board. And I think a certain leadership came onto the board that had an agenda for what they wanted to see Pacifica do. Perhaps it seems to me that it tends to be a lot more aligned with funding that comes from larger sources rather than listener sources, and including more dependence on CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Core group that seems to have a different agenda has been able to garner the votes of a majority of the rest of the board.
What's the base, just to make it, is what is the basis of their argument? What is so sexy about their argument, this core group, to the rest of the board? What are they promising?
I think one of the things was the argument that Pacifica has, quote, become irrelevant, you know, that Pacifica in its form as a community station lacked the, I guess, the professionalism, the clout to have the influence that it is, quote, due. And that's kind of like the sexy argument. There's something bigger for Pacifica if only it can get its act together and stop wasting its resources. And I think that's the way that it's presented.
And let me
ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead. We have Seth DeBachman is a local activist and artist here in the community, and he has a question.
Yeah, I have a question. To what extent would the people you're describing, would their ideas be influenced perhaps by some of the writings of, I think his name is Michael Lerner, and who is editor of Tycoon, and to what extent would they be influenced by the ideas of what is being called New Democrats or Clinton Democrats, you know, who have a notion of somehow if the left could tone itself down and look more like the right, it could be more influential?
Well, you know, a lot of the there's very little discussion, which is one frustrating thing about being on a board like this. I would expect this type of discussion, a discussion about the mission of Pacifica vis-a-vis the realities of media in this country this time, would be a lot more present, and we would get to understand what the different board members' perspective are. I can't tell you that I've heard anybody quote any of those writings or documents. However, in terms of their arguments and so forth, it certainly seems to be on the side of let's not be so raw edge, tell everything that's kind of nasty out there kind of stuff. I'm sure you've heard some of the criticisms that have been levied against some of the subjects that were covered in Democracy Now! And that kind of stuff. And that theme, that there has to be a more...
People don't want to wake up in the morning to stories of massacres and
horrors. Or death row or what have you. Yeah, that theme...
They want more like sort of like a prairie home companion for the city. A city home companion.
Yeah, I guess you could say that way. But
tell that to the New York Post.
Hello?
Tell that to the New York Post.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Why to the New York Post?
Why? Just because the newspapers people pick up every day have exactly that on the front page all the time.
Right, and I think then you have to wonder what it is that, I mean, certainly some people that are more connected with people who are already in the power structures of in Washington feel comfortable with that kind of sort of more moderate version of a debate, you know, where there's where I would see less difference between the two or the illusion of two sides on that debate. I think some people are more comfortable with that, and that's kind of the direction that I think that they would move the organization in.
Jim Dingman has a question.
Yeah, Tom, I'd like to ask you what your thoughts are of how we can get through this whole mess here. What do you see as positive solutions to this whole imbroglio, not only on the national scale, but what kind of thoughts you have about what's happening here in New York? Admittedly, you're afar, but I know professionally you work as a mediator, and I just was curious to know what kind of thoughts you have on that whole subject.
Well, you know, it took a lot of work out here to get the staff and the listeners to honestly talk to each other about some of the issues that had not been talked about for a long time. And I think that that's some of the work that needs to be done, and I hope that you're all doing out there. It is pretty easy to sort of get into pushing each other's buttons and stuff, but that's not going to get the community anywhere. I think, you know, in an ideal situation, we would recognize that this station and this network did a lot of its really valuable work throughout the years by allowing different voices to come together and come, especially voices that are not heard in mainstream media, and tackle some of the issues in our society in a way that really challenged the thinking listener, and so the listener became engaged, and that's why we have such a committed set of listeners. They understand that this resource is very different and has provided a very different alternative for that. And I think the waking up of the listener to what that mission of Pacific is one of the most positive things that I've seen in the last 3 years or the last 4 years. You know, people waking up to the fact that why is it that they care so passionately about this? And everywhere I go out here in Bay Area that I've been talking to listeners, I realize that at a very individual level, and I think that's very much in the writing of the original writings of Pacifica and Lou Hill, that connection, individual connection with the listeners, still is there. And people, whether they've been tuning in for 30 years or they've been tuning in for 12 years or 5 years, they've established a connection with the type of freshness of Pacifica, and we need to figure out a way of retaining that. Now, I think as listeners become aware of that, we have the opportunity to put that discourse back into the debate and to re-envision a Pacifica that allows all sorts of different voices, particularly voices concerned with some of the unrepresented voices in the media, and to recommit ourselves to having a network that that continues to do that. I think, though, in a very much of a community setting, you know, I do not listen to BAI in a normal setting, but as an activist out here in the Bay Area, I depended very much on KPFA. I was a housing and homeless advocate, and today, in fact, I saw the obituary of a homeless woman that I had taken to KPFA about 5 years ago and had done an interview in Dennis Bernstein's show about her activism with the homeless here. And I'd driven her up there, and she died at age 52 now of lung cancer. And it was a connection for us as activists and people who needed to put out and have discourse about this stuff here. And I hope that it's the same thing for you all out there.
Mm-hmm.